This is the MagicWordPodcast.com.
Hello, this is Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com. Well, this week we're going to be going to the Magic Castle in Los Angeles, actually in Hollywood, California. And this podcast and others to follow will be excerpts from the, well, conversations of that I will have recorded from some of the people that I've run into during the week. I hope to have a few of these that are going to be a little bit more lengthy, and I'll feature them as being special podcasts. But the ones I'm going to be saying that'll be my week at the castle will really be kind of 15, 20 minutes each of just some conversations or just kind of sitting down and as if that you're kind of sitting there with us. In fact, that one of the conversations we have here this week is with Howard Hamburg and Martin Cox, and we're sitting there, and Howard is showing us some card tricks. So try to imagine kind of what was going on with the trick. Right? Kind of try to explain it in a play-by-play as if you're watching this on television, or rather not on television, but over the, listening to it over the radio, like to a baseball game or something. But anyhow, you kind of get the general idea, and so I hope that you enjoy this and some of the other excerpts that will be from my week at the Magic Castle. So sit back, listen, and enjoy. Hello, this is Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com. Well, you'll of course guess where I am right now. I'm in the Southwest Airlines terminal here in Houston, Texas, waiting to wing my way over to Los Angeles. Actually, I'm going through Phoenix, Arizona, first of all. I got a plane change there, and then we take off for L.A. It's way early in the morning right now. In fact, that I decided not to get my regular Dunkin' Donuts fix because I had that yesterday for Father's Day. So today I just had a turkey sausage and egg on flatbread, if you care. Just need to make sure I'm going to have something to eat because I don't know what time I'm going to have another meal here until probably the castle later tonight. Oh, yeah, and that's why I'm going to Los Angeles, to go to the Magic Castle. So hold on just a minute there. Sounds like we got other people who are wanting to board as well, but that's not going to be me because that's not going to be for a while before that my boarding is announced. Actually, not that much longer, maybe about another 20 minutes or so, but it is awfully darn early. I've got to board at 5:50. That's right, 5:50 a.m. So that's just way early in the morning, particularly after getting kind of a late night back in Houston. Well, anyhow, this week at the castle, going to be a lot of fun, and I had looked up who it all that I'm going to be working with. I know that I'm doing early close-up. Also working later will be Armando Lucera, and also another friend of mine working in the palace is Martin Cox. And I have spoken with Martin on a podcast in the past, and it's worth going back and taking a listen to if you get a chance. You may have seen on YouTube sometime in the past about a smash and stab that went wrong. You know, it's kind of like Magic Gone Wrong, kind of a station, a YouTube channel. Anyhow, his was that one, that the smash and stab had gone bad, not with his hand, but with a volunteer's hand, which he put their hand on the thing in the cup, and it was the wrong one, knife went through their hand. On that podcast, we chat about that very thing and what happened, and it's kind of interesting. He actually knew the person. And they didn't end up suing him over that, as you might think that they would. And as far as what the damage was that had occurred, you need to listen to that as well, as far as how they were injured and the extent of their injuries. Nevertheless, that's with Martin Cox, so you can go back and listen to that one. Armando Lucera, I have not had a chance to chat with for a full podcast, so maybe while we're out there we can have an opportunity to sit down with him. There are several other people that I hope to get together with to spend some quality time with, not just who are working the castle, but obviously those people who are going to be passing through Los Angeles or the Magic Castle. You never know who's going to be there, who are guests coming in and out of the castle all the time. Also, my friend Walt Turner is going to be coming down from Sacramento on Thursday, so he's going to spend a couple of days with me towards the end of this week, and he's my longtime friend since kindergarten, good buddy of mine. So Walt's going to come up and get to see some of the castle, and then let's see. Who else? Well, as I said, I'm going to keep some of these as a surprise as to some of the people who will be individual chats. There are people I will be talking to and feature on an upcoming podcast. But each day while I'm at the castle, I plan on just kind of chatting with some people who are there and in and about and everything. But I like the opportunity to come back each year and to chat with a variety of people. Always good to see Jack Goldfinger, of course, who is the entertainment director there. And I'm not sure which place I'm going to be staying, but in the past several years I've always stayed at the Nirvana, but which is across the street from the castle. So there are other places to stay, and I'm not sure which one where I'll be this year, but we'll find out soon enough. Probably the next time that you hear an update, that'll be me checking into the hotel. Well, or maybe not. I may just want to talk a little bit with Trish Aleski. Trish is the lady who is working there in the administrative office and has been for the last 7 years, and she's just a wonderful lady and helps kind of make sure that everyone has everything all together and has a pleasurable time and does all the business. Anyhow. We'll see who we get to talk with once we get situated up over there. And let's see. So it's, as I said, getting close to getting closer to 5:30. So I've got about another 20 minutes before we actually start the boarding process over there. But I think I'll just enjoy my cup of Dunkin' Donuts coffee. Boy, I ought to have them as a sponsor too. As I said, I always stop by for Dunkin' Donuts. So, in Southwest as well. And I want to thank John Grabiel, who is a pilot for Southwest and also one of the friends of the Magic Word who helps sponsor this podcast financially. And I know he's going to be at the castle tonight also. He wrote me an email and said he was going to be having a layover, so we'll have a chance to chat with him, and you will hear him on the podcast here shortly as well, unless something comes up and his schedule changes or whatever. But I'm planning on seeing him later tonight. So, again, thanks, John. Looking forward to seeing you and also to flying on your marvelous airlines. That's about all for now and probably all that you care about hearing. But I'm excited. Hope you guys are too. It should be, again, a lot of fun and a fun ride in Los Angeles at the Magic Castle in Hollywood. So for now, this is Scotty out. Well, we've made it all the way then to the airport over at Burbank, which I highly recommend. If you're going to be coming into the Magic Castle, you need to make sure you go into Burbank. Flying at LAX or to John Wayne Airport is way too far of a drive. I can tell you from experience. You got to go to Burbank over there. Easy drive to the Magic Castle. If you're going to be coming here to visit, that's the place to fly in and out. Small airports, easy. You'll like it. And just like that, in like about 17 minutes or so, we're here at the Magic Castle. And I told you when I was at the airport in Houston, one of the first people we'll probably be hearing next after my voice was going to be Trish Aleski. And here she is right now. Hey, Trish.
Hi, Scott. I'm so happy you're here.
It's good to be here, actually. So I'm glad to be back then again. So it's congratulations. I was just reading on Facebook where you had completing 7 years. Is that right or something?
Nine years.
Golly. Mm-hmm. Soon you'll be old enough to drink,
you know?
And drive a car and everything. So,
that's amazing.
And 9 years. And so now a new person, you got Claire, you say he's going to be checking in people then now. So that was kind of what you were doing. Have you gotten a promotion? You're doing something different or what's your...
Not so much a promotion, just a lot of stuff has been taken off of my plate so that I can concentrate more on membership. Mm-hmm. And selling memberships, creating programs for members, things along those lines. I was doing a lot of extra things like checking in people and charity donations got taken off of my plate, things like that, just so that I could open it up and concentrate more on specific membership.
And when you're talking about membership benefits and things, I mean, Joe was just telling me about the thing you're doing, I guess, with the summer nights with having a jazz concert. Is that kind of a thing?
I'm not so much involved with that, but more specific reciprocal clubs, creating all of the year-long benefits that you get as a member.
And so with reciprocal clubs, I always think of country clubs where you have the country club association. You can kind of go from, you can play in one club or another around the country. Is it a similar kind of a thing?
Pretty much that's it, yeah. Okay. We've got close to 50 clubs now. They're all different types of clubs.
They
are they're social clubs, they're business clubs, they're country clubs, they're... Are no other magic clubs?
No.
Except the Magic Circle in England, who we love.
But they reciprocate with this?
Okay. Yeah, they do. Only for our magician members, but obviously, yeah. They do. And we have the House of Blues nationwide. They've got about, I think it's 7 or 8 different clubs. There's a couple in Texas.
Yeah, I know there's one in Houston. I've worked it. I know what you mean.
Yeah. There's a couple in Texas, and there's one in Dallas, too, I think, and one in Austin, I think.
I believe it's in Austin, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But they're all over. There's one in Boston. They're everywhere. And they're actually the closest related to us. I don't even know how to say this.
Because they have entertainment.
Yes.
They're music, obviously.
Right.
But that's the pretty much the closest benefit that you can find.
Yeah, musician and magician, they get confused a lot.
Yes,
so
they do. Yes, they do.
I always get that when people say, well, what instrument do you play? And then I say, the cards. Yeah. And they go, what?
The coins the cards.
Yes.
Yes.
So if you're a member here, that's one of the perks that you get, that you can then go to other clubs. You don't have to just come to this one. Of course, it's the only magic club, as you said, except for the Magic Circle.
Right.
But you can then have the benefits then of others, because I know that is a private club there at the House of Blues.
Yeah.
And okay. Very
They're
cool.
All over. They're all over. I'm trying to get more international clubs. The reason why we wanted to spread out and add in this benefit is because we have a lot of non-resident members, people mm-hmm. all over the world. We've got over 5,200 members now, and a lot of them do not live in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. So, and we know that they can't come to this club as much as they might want to. So I wanted to find a way to give them mm-hmm. the benefit of using their membership with the AMA.
That's a good idea. You know, for example, I'm a lot more than a few lifetime members, actually, of the Magic Circle. But I don't get over there very often, you know, and I don't know that I would even necessarily have to be a member in order to get in. But I like to support them, obviously. It'd be nice if they reciprocated with some other things or other places, you know, mm-hmm. like that as well, the way that you're kind of reaching out and doing.
I don't know that they do. I think we might be the only ones. There is benefit of being a member of their organization, and that mm-hmm. is full access to their lectures and perks that they have going on,
right.
which I've heard. I have not been myself, obviously, because I am not a magician, and I haven't been to England. But
you have been to Italy to FISM.
I have. Yes, I have. Those are top notch, obviously, from what I've heard.
Yeah. So. No, they are. It's a lot of fun. I've lectured over there then myself, and it's a great club. It's a wonderful place. But as far as some of the other places, you say then country clubs, so that you can actually go, is it for social only, or will they allow you to play golf at these country clubs?
They'll allow you to play.
Huh, okay.
Yeah.
So you get full benefits as if you're a member, basically.
For that day.
Sure.
And the way to do it is every AMA member, any club that you want to go and visit, the list is listed online under the members only section of the website at magiccastle.com. Mm-hmm. You log in, you'll find it's called Reciprocal Offerings, mm-hmm. and the whole list is there. We've got their websites links there so that you can log on and check them out and see what you might want to go and see. Mm-hmm. And there's a form right on that page that you fill out. It sends me an email telling me the club that you want to go to, the amount of people that you want to bring, and the dates that you want to go. And then I create a letter of introduction, which mm-hmm. is your access, send it over to that club, and you're good to go.
Wow. And you say it's just good for that one day. Okay.
Or if you're traveling and you're there for the week, I'll you know, broaden the dates and say they're there for the whole week. I don't know what day they'll come.
But like since I live in Houston, let's say for an example, if I want to go to the House of Blues mm-hmm. Can I go there every day? If I'm a member here?
As long as you have that introduction for me.
I got you.
You can't just walk in.
Okay. Yep. No, I understand. But once you have the introduction, you need that piece of paper each time you would go.
Yes.
Okay. Because you're local.
Yeah.
Got it.
And you're not getting the paper. They get the paper. So you don't have to worry about the paper.
Okay.
There's no paper.
There's no paper trail. Okay. Gotcha.
That's all behind the scenes.
That's all the little stuff you do, kind of the paddling under the water. That's right. You say you're not a magician, but yes, you are, actually. Now, you know, some other places come to mind. Obviously, there is I think, a magic circle in Germany.
Yes.
Is
that kind of new? I don't know the details about that. I don't know how long they've been around.
They've been around for a while. I've not been to the actual physical building, you know, where they have the clubhouse or mm-hmm. anything, but they are all part of this circle. I mean, each of the clubs are kind of tied to it. And then I understand that they have a physical house, nothing like the Magic Circle in London, but it's still, as I understand it, a physical place.
Yeah.
Another place might be of interest, if you haven't pursued it, would be the Jean-Robert Houdin Museum in Paris.
We have that.
You got that already.
Yep. He came to me. He came to me directly, and he really wanted it. And I said, you need to build it first.
Yeah.
Because he was just coming up with the idea and asking me questions about the way I run the membership department here. And I hope I helped him out a little bit.
Good.
And now he's kind of gotten it off the ground and is running with it sounds. And yes, we are working on setting that up. Securing that access. I don't know if he officially has it off the ground. Yeah, he does.
Oh, yeah. It's been going for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For the last year, I think.
Longer than that, the one I'm thinking of. I mean, it is actually, it's a museum, actually.
Oh, he had the museum, but now he's trying to do the private club.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yep.
Oh, wow. That's kind of cool.
Yep.
Huh. So they have private membership similar to the AMA.
Right.
Okay.
Something to look into.
Yeah. Yeah, I was supposed to have gone to France this month, so I was going to be going on a lecture tour, and then I was going to be spending a week in Paris. We'd traded out a timeshare over there, but I only got like about 7 or 8 cities. It wasn't enough really to put together a whole tour to make it worth time to go over. So the fellow who was helping me with that said, let's work on it next year. So I'm going to try it at some later time, but I want to get back over and spend about a month or something right there.
Nice.
So people who are, I've asked you this before, but it's always a good time to make another pitch for membership. Mm-hmm. Now, is there room or is there a waiting list?
We have a waiting list.
Okay.
And the wait on the list is about 5 to 6 months at this point. It's a little over 375 people, which is a little less than it was probably the last time I talked about it. I think we had over 500 at one point when we first started. But it is still about 5 to 6 months. And once I reach the person's name on the list, I send out an email and welcome them to apply for membership. And there's a whole process that they have to go through. I need reference letters. I need current photographs of them and an application, obviously, and they need to pay me. But after they've been approved, it usually takes about a week.
And there's a different price for local versus outside the area?
Yes. And we're talking about associates. The wait to apply for a magician membership currently is about 3 months.
Oh,
so, and a resident magician is going to have to audition in front of the audition committee before they're accepted. And then a non-resident has to submit background material to be approved. Yep, links, anything that they can provide us to prove that, yes, they are worthy of a magician membership.
Now, I would think that you could have a lot of people, you said, who are non-locals, obviously. I mean, thousands of people who are outside who I mean, if they all were here, not everybody can fit in at any given time, so I think that you can kind of open that up to outside residents. In other words, if there was an international group, if somebody was in England, they wanted to join the AMA, I would think they would have a shorter waiting period, but that's not necessarily the case.
No, it's all pretty much the same. Yeah.
Okay.
And we also have that global membership still that I know I talked about the last time we talked. A global membership is a magician membership for somebody who lives outside of the United States and Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of an online subscription. It's most of the benefits are online, but if somebody in England or somebody in Germany or anywhere outside of the United States or Canada does join, Japan, China, we've got people from all over again, they're in the area, they're in Los Angeles, they do have access to the club.
Mm-hmm.
It's just limited access. They don't have access to guest invitations. They can't hand out guest passes, and they don't have voting rights.
Okay. That makes
sense. And it's a lot less expensive.
I was going to say, it's cheaper price.
It's $100 initiation fee, and then $125 a year.
But one of the advantages, I think, of course, of being a member is to have access to the guest passes, because you have a lot of friends and family, or somebody's, when you're telling your members, oh, I'd love to go there sometime, well, you can give them a pass.
Yeah.
But if you're
I have to be very, very clear when somebody's asking about a global membership, because I've run into that issue before. Even though I tell them, they sign up for it and say, wait a second, I thought it... Yeah, so, and it's very easy to transfer over if anybody ever wanted to do that, but it's a good option.
Mm-hmm.
Max Maven actually came up with that idea, and it's a wonderful idea, because the idea is to get as many magicians around the world as possible to join our establishment.
Mm-hmm.
We want...
you're capped out at a certain amount. I mean, sure, you want everyone to join, but everyone up to a certain point. You want to keep that same level.
Yes.
In perpetuity, basically.
Yeah, but we don't have a cap.
Oh, you don't have a cap?
No, we don't.
So the 5,300, so why, I don't understand then about the 300 and some people who are on the waiting list.
Well, that's an associate.
Okay.
So the exclusivity is
I'm
coming. Magicians, we want as many as we can get, obviously. We're a magicians-based club, and we won't put a limit on that.
I had heard once that, and I think I may have asked you about this before, that about 10% of the membership are made up of magicians and the rest are non. Is that correct, or do you have any kind of idea today?
It's actually about half and half. There's
Is it really?
There's a little bit more magician members than there are associates, but it's pretty close to half and half. I don't have the numbers.
See, when I first came here, and Bill Larson had hired me like in 81 or something, and he was, you know, I said, well, I'm a little bit nervous, you know, be a lot of magicians. Ah, don't worry about it. Like 10% of the people actually, the members are magicians.
Oh, that was probably right for back then.
And he said, besides that all of them invite non-magician friends, so for the most part, you're going to have way over 90% of the people who are non-magicians. I said, okay, that's great. You know, so
it's well, that performing-wise, I think that's probably about right for every given evening that we're open here. The people, your audience, it's not going to be all magicians.
Sure.
Sometimes it is. Mm-hmm. And watch out on
Friday lunch.
And Wednesday nights, even. Mm-hmm. Wednesday nights are our unofficial members' nights, so that's when a lot of our longtime regular members will come in, and they'll sit, as I'm sitting here right now, they'll cross their arms
crossed,
and watch you.
Harumph. I didn't get a harumph out of you. Yeah, okay.
I see them with their pins on.
Yeah, you know. And so that is that something that just happened organically, or was it because it was something, again, like let's say when Joe was saying he's going to have the jazz night or something, there's always something on a Wednesday night, or is it something that has consciously tried to get members on a Wednesday night, unofficial night? Or?
Yeah, that just kind of happened that way. They just, it was the night that everybody decided was the best night for them to come in during the week to see the shows, and and then we started noticing it and started calling it that.
Yeah. that's just an official members night.
Yeah.
Okay, very nice. Okay, so again, for people who want to get on the list, waiting list, or become a global member, they go to
magiccastle.com. They click on membership. There's a link for membership, and it'll tell you all the details of membership and how to get on that wait list or how to get on the RSVP list to audition if you are applying for a magician membership. I am always available by phone and email with any questions that anybody has. I try to answer as quickly as I possibly can.
Awesome. Okay. Very good. Thank you very much.
Thanks,
okay. Yeah. Well, you know, I always ask what your magic word is. That's because the Magic Word Podcast.
I don't remember what my own
magic. Well, of course, it changes from day to day and year to year. And so, what would be your magic word or phrase today? What is it that's important to your? I mean, things have changed in your life, obviously. You know.
A lot. A lot has changed since I last chatted with you. I lost somebody very, very special to me.
It was your uncle?
Yes, but actually, I'm talking about somebody else. Her name is Irene Larson.
Oh, of course.
My inspiration for everything that I do here. So my magic word is Irene today.
Yeah, that's good.
I'm going to cry.
And your uncle was the one who knew Mel Blanc. He did a lot of voices.
He actually took over for Mel. When Mel Blanc passed away, they needed a guy to
do Bugs Bunny and
to do all the characters, yeah.
And he worked for Warner Brothers then, or was he just a...
He was a stand-up comedian. And he, at the end of his act, he was an impressionist, a very good impressionist. Mm-hmm. They called him the Man of a Thousand Voices.
And his name again is?
His name was Joe Alasky. Mm-hmm. And so at the end of his act, he would do impressions of the Looney Tunes. And they knew Mel was going to pass away, and so they had scouts go out and try to find replacements. Mm-hmm. And somebody came to his show and said, "That's our guy." And so they talked to him after the show, and... they actually had a pool of people that were doing it for quite a while, but he was their number one choice.
Because he could do them all as opposed to having you do this guy and then you do...
Yeah.
Okay.
It was pretty impressive. And he won an Emmy Award for doing the voice of Daffy Duck in a TV show called Duck Dodgers, and which I actually worked on. I used to work for him before I worked at the castle. Okay. I was his assistant and manager. Hmm. And so I get to be behind the scenes and see all that magic. It was really cool. Really cool.
It was.
Yeah.
That's sad for that. And Irene, and gosh, you know, so many people over the last year or so have been lost. It's amazing. It's true. Well, listen, thank you very much. And so we'll use Irene as your magic word. Then,
that's
too.
It.
Thank you very much. That was
so silly, but it's true. Thank
for the
you,
Magic
Scott.
Word Scott podcast. Scotty out.
That was fun.
Alrighty, well, Scott Wells here at the Magic Castle. We're not the Magic Island, Magic Castle, in the close-up gallery. And this is not just the official close-up gallery. It's known as the JOC Memorial Close-Up Gallery. And has been since 1967. You'll learn that during my show later tonight, you guys. And I'm here with a couple of guys. One fella who is a friend of the Magic Word and been a longtime friend of mine. And you've seen his name, of course, on the website, Mr. John Graybeal. Hi there, John.
Hello, Scott. Hello.
He's the pilot. As a matter of fact, I referred to him earlier when I was sitting in Southwest Terminal in Houston. So I was saying, thank you, John. You weren't my pilot today, but you usually pilot here and pilot there, I guess.
I do. I pilot everywhere. I started in Mexico this morning.
Oh, you did? Okay.
I did, yes.
So you're kind of like all over the place then, really. So, I mean, like, you're based, though, in Chicago.
based in Midway. Yep, that's right.
And so you're in Mexico this morning, and then LA here tonight.
Cancun this morning, flew to LA, LAX, and rented a car and got up here as fast as I could.
And you've kind of been hanging out at the castle all weekend. Who else did you see this weekend?
No, I did not come. I did have an LA overnight on Saturday, but I ended up not coming out on Saturday.
Okay. So you didn't hear the lecturer? Yes, I was curious who the lecturer was yesterday.
No.
But also here is one of the performers this week who you have heard on the podcast before, and you'll probably hear him a lot this week, and that's Martin Cox. Hey there, Martin.
Hi, Scott. How are you?
I'm fine. Come on, get a little closer.
All right.
I mean, it's a good microphone, but I have to
plug
in the rest
of it.
Oh, my gosh, it is. Well, it wasn't until you got here.
Broke a seat already. That's a great start.
Right in the very front row, too.
Hello. What, Gav?
So, did you enjoy Pink's today for the first time? I went to Pink's Hot Dogs.
Oh, yeah, brilliant. You been there?
Of course. Which one did you have?
Oh, I had the New York.
I had the Mulholland.
Sweet and something. It was really nice.
Yeah. Did you have to wait in line?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Busy.
For like about a half hour.
It's crazy.
For a hot dog.
But now you've had one.
Yeah.
At Pink's.
That's it.
Okay.
Don't need to go anymore, do I?
But there are other kinds of dogs you need to get. You just got the New York dog. See, I got the Mulholland dog, which had, grilled onions and grilled mushrooms and bacon and nacho cheese.
Yeah, and he spilled it all down his shorts so he could have some later.
I wish I could laugh and say that's not true, but I just enjoyed a little bit of it while ago for dessert.
It was good. He was in his room licking his shorts. I'll be out in a minute.
At least they're clean now. They don't look so bad. But it was in kind of an embarrassing spot where this big glob of nacho cheese fell in my lap.
I can imagine.
No, please don't. Let me just change the subject. But you, John, are not only a friend of the Magic Word, but you also are a member of the Magic Castle here. How long have you been a member here?
3-4 years, maybe.
Okay. Because you fly out here a lot.
Yes, so I'm what's called an out-of-town member. Since I live in Illinois, I'm a magician member, but there's two levels of magician member, either, I guess, a local one and an out-of-town magician. I'm not sure what the radius is, but I qualified for the out-of-town membership. I probably use it as much as anybody out-of-town.
Who lives here locally?
Yeah, because I come here all the time, yeah. So.
And do you typically fly into LAX or do you fly to Burbank?
I prefer flying to Burbank so that I can Uber back and forth, but if I fly into LAX, I rent a car to come up back and forth. It's just a little bit more convenient and easier.
And you always stay at the hotel that's right on site, the airports, I guess.
I do, yes, right on Century Boulevard. I have driven from Ontario Airport and from John Wayne Santa Ana Airport to come to the castle. Depends on, you know, if I'm flying with my first officer, if they are interested in magic, and some of them have been, then, you know, I pull out all the stops to try to get them here. They're pretty excited, especially if they know about the Magic Castle and the opportunity for them to come. Then as close as we are, it's a shame not getting here. So we'll just rent a car and drive up, get in the HOV lanes. So it's not so bad.
It wouldn't be so bad as long as you got somebody to travel with. Yeah. Instead of getting in crazy traffic. I think it's worse traffic. I'd rather drive in New York City. I think this is worse than Chicago. In Chicago, over on Eisenhower, and you know, some of those roads are bad, too.
Well, it's 11 miles from LAX up here, and today it took 55 minutes.
55 minutes. Wow.
I wouldn't have done it if it wasn't for you guys.
Isn't that nice of him?
That's lovely. You're not coming to see me, though, are you?
I'll be first in line.
Oh, will you? Oh, excellent.
And you are going to be emceeing in the palace.
Yeah.
Not you, John, but Martin, are.
No. Yeah. No, I am. Not you.
Don't put the pressure on me already.
You can do it if you want.
I'm not dressed for it.
You can do it. You can do it if you really want to. That nice. Yeah, no, yes. I'm sort of becoming the new Terry Seabrook, evidently.
So I'm going to let this lie. Okay. After what
but
we talked about
but
at lunch.
I don't drink. That's...
You don't drink scotch.
I don't drink anything.
Anything, okay. Well, then you're not the new Terry Seabrook.
No, I'm not. That was just a joke for my friends.
Well, you did stay next door at the Magic Hotel last night, which is where he normally stayed at the Seabrook Suite over there.
Yeah, I think I was in his suite.
Were you?
Yeah. clinking of the bottles underneath the bed.
You still haven't cleaned them up, have we?
Sorry, Terry.
But this is the first time that you have been here at the Castle since you worked at WC Fields Bar, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I worked at WC Fields Bar in 2004. So it was a long time ago, wasn't it?
Oh, wow.
They finally got me back.
So at this rate, you should be coming, let's see, what would that be, 2020 or 2030 approximately?
That's, yeah, yeah.
2030, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I'll be here in my Zimmer frame.
You might,
gray hair.
I was going to say, you're going to lose your hair by then.
Yeah, some of it.
You know, I thought that's funny. One of the things that they just, as the performers here, they always give you something nice, just as a gift. And we got some champagne, usually a deck of cards. And last time we had like a wine opener and some other stuff. Well, this time they had a nice little toiletry kit and everything. Yeah. And included in that was
a comb,
hairbrush,
hairspray, hairspray,
yeah,
comb.
Shampoo. Right.
Shampoo.
Yeah.
All the stuff.
Everything you
back.
Needed.
So you got souvenirs to take back to
yeah. Someone's going to get a good present this year.
Someone with hair.
Someone with hair. Saves your money, doesn't it, really? Just give it to someone. You know, there you go.
So you are going to be here all weekend, John? Are you going to be heading back tomorrow to Chicago?
I leave early in the morning. My first officer just texted me and said we had a long day tomorrow, but my first officer just texted me. He said their first leg, the first flight we do is canceled. That was from here to Las Vegas. So I'm awaiting what the scheduling has in store for me. I'm excited. Mm-hmm. Maybe we'll close the place down tonight, guys.
Yeah, all right, let's do that. And then we can all go to Vegas.
Yeah.
On your plane.
I'm not flying. If I stay out all night, I guarantee I'm not flying.
Well, I'll fly. It'll be all right. You can tell me what to do.
I can tell you what to do.
Yeah, okay. Right. You just do that, and it does itself.
That's right. That's right.
Put it on autopilot. Don't they have that? And that way, once you get up there, you're good to go.
As they say, you pull back on the stick, the houses get smaller. You push forward on the stick, and the houses get bigger.
Anybody can do that.
Anybody can do that. That's true. don't tell everybody that. That's a secret that we're all three are going to keep. Don't let anybody know.
We won't tell anyone
that anybody can do that.
And so, you are you a voting member then also whenever that you're outside, or is it or not?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. We have full membership privileges as a out-of-town member. The associate member, I'm not sure exactly how the associate membership works, but as far as a full magician member.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Trish Shaleski was explaining that a little bit to us this afternoon, also a global member. There are certain things at different levels, apparently. Because some global members don't get over here rarely, if at all, you know, but they can still be associated with the club as a member, but not have voting rights. And there are certain things. I don't know if the associates do or not, but I was curious if you get out of town. But you do get to have guest passes you can give out to other people.
Yep,
too.
We have the VIP guest passage, which don't require dinner reservations. And we also have regular guest passes that we can hand out, which do require dinner reservations. Mm-hmm. I came since early 90s, very early 90s, probably 1992. On my IBM membership.
Yeah.
And so I'm sure IBM, SAM, I'm sure there are probably some other ones that they can come out. Unless you have dinner, then you can come out to the...
Is that still the way you think it is? Or
I think it is.
Yeah, I remember that before. If you would show your IBM membership, that if you were out of town, that you can come in then once. Yeah.
But because I was flying here and had so many layovers here, I thought it was, I thought it was important to become a member. So
yeah, my friend in Houston, Rick Hebert, similarly does a lot of work out here with Siemens, and he was traveling out here so often that same thing. So I'm going to get a membership, even though he's residing in Houston. He probably is in LA more than he is there for like 6 months. So he does. Now, Martin, I was going to ask you also as far as the people who are performing. Tell me about who's with you. You're emceeing, and who the other acts are.
Well, there's me. I'm the Entree, and then we got Tempeh and Montree. All goes together, doesn't it?
Yeah. Okay. Now here's the way I think you need to set up that joke. Right. Now here, you need to set that up. I think you need to say you got Tempeh.
I've got Tempeh.
And
then
you got Mondre. And then
me.
And
I am the Entree. Yeah, that works, doesn't it?
Now that's funnier that way, isn't it?
It's funnier that way.
That is.
You should write my stuff.
I can rewrite your stuff.
That's a good idea. Well, I didn't know you was going to spring that on me, so I wasn't ready.
It's experimental humor.
It went over my head. And this is non-alcoholic beer, so that went over my head. So,
Well, you're not supposed to drink as a pilot, are you?
No. Not when you're... Not when you're... I mean, like on my days off, I can.
So what's the whiskey chaser for?
There's no whiskey chaser.
He's not drinking whiskey. This is my pilot. He's okay.
He's adhering. Sometimes, oh, I do. I'm drinking it. They have different non-alcoholic beer here, and sometimes they run out. I mean, I clean them out, and then they have to go. We know we
because
have one
they
somewhere.
Don't, yeah,
because I'm
somewhere.
The only guy. And they, wait, I think we have one downstairs. Those how many bars? Are there? Seven bars here or something?
They got yeah, but they got to have people who are going to be the designated driver.
Not Uber.
Wait a minute. Oh. Wait a minute. That's cold tea.
Okay. Isn't that what Billy McComb used, was cold tea?
Yeah, that's what he drank all the time, cold tea.
Yeah. Uh-huh. When he had that in the egg bag, that was cold tea?
Yeah, it was cold tea. It's an old actor's thing, isn't it?
Hmm.
You drink cold tea instead of...
Is that good for your voice or something?
No, instead of... It looks like...
Whiskey.
Oh.
Right.
I've got a lot to learn.
So there you go. You could pretend you were drunk. Just drink lots of cold tea.
Okay. All right.
You're on stage and they're acting, you know, or they're in the movies and you got to have take after take, you know.
I don't think, no, I'm not going to act drunk. I will tell a funny, you want to hear a funny story?
We should do it.
I will tell you a funny story. I got off the plane in Las Vegas one time and there was a lady who had a seeing eye dog. And as soon as we get out, the dog's doing his job, and I love dogs, up the jetway. And she stops and says something to me, and she goes, "Where can I take my dog out?"
To this was a service dog.
Service dog, seeing eye dog.
Yeah.
And I said, "Oh, we got off. We were both all getting off the airplane, and when we got up to the top, I said, "Do you need any help going anywhere?" And she goes, "She says, no, I know where I'm going." She goes, "I just need to know where to my dog, the relief area." And I said, "Well, I can take him out." So she goes, "Okay, great. I'll sit right here." So I reached into my bag and I put my aviation Ray-Bans on and I grabbed the seeing eye dog and I went to the farthest gate that I could because I didn't want
to be your pilot today.
Back then there wasn't the gates weren't that far apart. It was not like poor dog had to go to the bathroom, but so then I walked past everybody down the jetway outside walked back up. That is a true story.
That is brilliant.
It'd be funny to see somebody on the airplane say, "Wait a minute, didn't I just see you? Now you're the pilot."
Didn't you just land my plane?
Oh yeah, it's all by feel.
Yeah, touch and go at times.
Isn't it by screaming?
You're getting closer the louder they scream.
It's gonna pull up. Well, I was worried in the airport because I had to ring here to get picked up, and I'm thinking, oh, I've got to ring Jack, and I can't say hi Jack in an airport, can I? Hi Jack.
Yeah, they don't
find the humor in that.
No, not at all.
Well, I was concerned because I have a thumb tip with a flash attachment in it, and I checked that through in my luggage because I thought that might be something that if I went through, they're going to say, "Well, what is this?" And they'll dig it out and tear it up, you know. Wow. So, hey there, Jack.
Right.
Hey, Jack. So now we got Jack Goldfinger in here, too. We're just recording. Say hello. Say hi.
I'm already.
Anyway,
you
say hello.
You can look me up and in search on the iPod or whatever because I am down there and in it.
Yes, you are.
And this is wonderful.
I'm just saying hi.
I am moonwalking out of the room.
Am I doing the same intro for you?
And yes, you are. Do you recall that? You still have that from 2 years ago?
Yes, we sure do.
Do you need us?
No, I got a better picture now.
Well, I don't care about the picture. I'm
okay.
Much more interested in the intro.
Let me see. Actually, that since then I have one Magician of the Year an additional time, so it's the 4 years.
Okay.
Four-time Magician of the Year. Magician with Tex Appeal. Yep.
Great.
That sounds great. Thank you, Bob.
Excellent. And can I put the lights back on?
You can. Back, yeah. A little bit hot, yes. Yeah. Put them back on the cooling ray. Yeah, I think it's kind of neat how they have the different lighting grid in here. See, just a moment. When you snap your fingers, you see how that it actually starts
how do you
to...
do that, Scott?
Well, it's magic.
No, you just...
Everything is blue now.
No, it's just...
He just flipped the switch behind the curtain. What's the matter with you?
No, he snapped his fingers, though.
Did you see me snap my fingers?
Well, heard, yes. Okay. I didn't see because the lights went blue.
They're sound activated, clap on, clap off. That's it. I just wanted to introduce you guys and say thanks for coming. John, appreciate it a lot. Martin, look forward to seeing more of you this week. Well, maybe not that much more, but at least being with you.
Just going to hang out.
We'll hang out.
Yeah, sure. I've got other friends here.
I realize when I say, how did you get here? So a pilot says, how did you get here? He knows you flew.
Right.
But what airline did you fly on?
BA.
Direct from Heathrow to here?
Yeah. 10 hours. What? 10 hours between two people, a smelly baby and screaming. It's great. I love it.
What kind of airplane was it?
Well, big one with wings.
That's the next one. We want to know. Oh, so was this? It was a Airbus A380.
Yeah, probably.
Or is it 747? Two full. I mean,
I'll just sit in them. I don't. I'm going to say the numbers down.
I don't know.
Just sit in the plane.
Who was your pilot?
Jack. I don't know. I did mention the magician who's high up in the, but that couldn't have been you.
No,
because you don't work for BA, do you?
No.
No, so it won't be you then. They were talking about you. Weren't talking about you, so. Yeah. So yeah, because I'm thinking of writing a new film. You know, like that Snakes on a Plane.
Mm-hmm.
They call it Babies on a Plane.
So it'd be like a little bit like It. Remember that movie? Baby.
Yeah. So they're going to be crawling underneath the seats, biting your legs and stuff like that.
Speaking of that, I do. You want to hear another funny? story?
Yeah, we know.
So I'm in the cockpit, and a flight attendant dings me, and she goes, "You're not going to believe this." And I said, "I'm sure I'll believe it because the things that happen." She goes, "Well, we have a problem, and when we land, we've got to take care of this problem." I said, "Well, what is the problem?" She says, "Well, a lady has a dog that fits underneath the seat, so a carry-on dog. She unzipped it and let the dog out."
Mm-hmm.
The dog got out, and the lady sitting behind her had her lunch. This is from Las Vegas, Chicago. Had her lunch underneath this front seat.
Mm-hmm.
So the dog, she unzipped the cage, and the dog got out, ate through the styrofoam, ate the entire lady's lunch. So when the lady went down, got hungry about halfway over Omaha, she went down to pull her styrofoam container out of her lunch. There was no lunch in a giant hole.
Big rat.
But she didn't know that there was a dog in front either. So when she hands it to the flight attendant, she goes, "What happened?"
"It's a sky rat."
Or a sky mall. So how was that situation handled?
Well, I believe the flight attendant suggested that they get together afterwards and maybe buy her lunch.
Wow.
You might have done a good not to eat lunch.
Okay, I think I may have told you this. I was telling Martin this afternoon. My brother was a pilot for United. He's retired now. But talk about seeing eye dogs. Well, someone said they brought in a seeing eye or a service pig. And so the flight attendant said, "Well, I'm going to have to ask the pilot whether that it's okay with him because he has to clear whatever." And he said, "Okay, I guess that's fine that she needs to have the pig." And so approved. Got up to about, altitude, cruising speed. And apparently that the pig had not flown before and got nauseous.
Interesting.
And apparently there was pig crap, let go, and then it was kind of sloshing up and down, between the feet of the some of the people. And it was not a pleasant situation. So he's never let on another pig since then. So.
What can you say? You can't say anything.
Pigs can fly.
Can fly means you're lying.
When
means
pigs can fly.
But not anymore on his United flight.
I guess not anymore on United.
That's what I say to my kids when I think they're not telling the truth. I look at them and go, "What's that?" I think it's a pig. I was miming looking out a window and
it's a pig
going in, flying.
That was good. That was almost like it was like
there was like a pig flying there.
It was good. Yeah.
Just
had you been here, you would have seen it.
Yeah, it's lying.
Yeah,
is it that right? Pig flying, lying. It rhymes. That's why. It's Cockney rhyming slang all over again.
I didn't understand a word he just said.
Well, I think the people who are listening to this are going to catch every other word that he says anyhow.
That's great.
Are you actually Cockney? I mean, what part of
East
London?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean,
I understood that perfectly.
But is that the same thing? Yeah, I understand. Yeah. Like the Pearly King and all that, is that Cockney or what are they?
No, but Pearly Kings and Queen, they evidently do a lot for charity. and they,
that's
they
not a real say, language, huh?
No, they say things. No, Cockney rhyming slang, I think I've told you this, was to fool the police originally. Mm-hmm. It was invented to, yeah, for criminals to talk to each other, say stuff, so the police wouldn't catch on what they
like
were talking
Pig
about.
Latin.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, not, that so I know, not, you know, not that I know Pig Latin was for the police, the, but
then it became more accessible, so people started using it. But you, what you do to make it work is you only say one of the words, so you don't say both. So instead of saying whistle and flute, which is wearing a suit, putting on a suit, you say whistle.
Because a policeman wear a whistle?
Means? No, no, that means you're going to wear a suit.
Oh, whistling.
Oh, you just say whistle. I've got my whistle on. I'm going to get my whistle on.
Whistle means suit.
Suit, yeah.
Oh.
See, and then you could say, instead of going, I've got to nip up apples.
I'm going to nip up apples.
Yeah, so apples and pears is stairs. So it means you're just going to nip upstairs.
You're going to go upstairs.
Yeah. Sorry, you're going to go upstairs. So you're going, I'm just popping up the apples. And that means you're going upstairs.
Okay, so...
It's more than Pig Latin.
I'm just popping up the apples.
Yeah, I'm just going up the apples. Yeah.
Going up the apples?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just going up the apples.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm going to go up the apples later on to see you.
And have you got your dog with you?
Got his pig.
See, dog and bone, phone.
That makes perfect sense.
Oh.
Yeah.
So you got to kind of follow where it would go. Gotcha.
So you only say one word, but if someone who knows the rest of it knows what you're talking about.
So he got
How do
you,
dog with you know that the other person knows the rest of it?
Well, because you know they're another Cockney. And now everybody knows.
Great. He just
well, they don't know. They don't know all of them. They don't know all the words.
Is there an app for this?
No, there's no app. There's no app. No, there could be. That'd be a good thing, wouldn't it? The Cockney app.
Cockney app.
Cockney. I'm a bit worried about saying Cockney on stage here. Hello, I'm a Cockney. Because they might not understand what I'm saying.
Give it a try a couple times.
Yeah. Yeah, I might only need to do it a couple of times and then I've gone home. Early flight for Coxie.
On British Airways, A380.
Yeah, on an A380.
We on the top, yeah. We are on the top level or the bottom? Or the
bottom.
Bottom?
Yeah, I'm not that rich.
Why?
No, they're about the same, actually, though, I think. But
yeah, I don't think
I don't know why. Why do they make you walk through first class and business class? To the back, because it's just like saying, look how poor you are.
Look where you could be.
Yeah,
that's right. Because next time you want to go there.
Yeah, get to the back.
My kids.
You're not worthy.
Every single time we get on an airplane and we walk by first class there or business class, I want to sit up there. Well, so do I.
Well, you sit right at the front.
I do have on. Yes, I have a seat that's wide and comfortable and leans back. Yeah, it's nice. Very nice. It's fully adjustable back, you know, lumbar supports, thigh supports. Yeah, it's very nice.
And you ain't got big guy sitting next to you taking all the room up. Some woman who's small and can sleep probably in a very small box asleep next to you, and 10 hours, and I can't sleep. It's really annoying, isn't it?
How was the food?
Yeah, that food was all right, and the service was lovely. They were great. Yeah. They were really nice. I can't knock them. For that, because they were really lovely.
Well, so I'm going to wrap up this, and that's okay, because I'm going to have to get ready for my stuff, because it's soon going to be 7. You guys can catch this first show. Nice to have a friendly face, or at least a face that I know that's out there. So,
is he talking about you or me?
Okay.
Did you say friendly or ugly?
Okay.
I don't know. Farce. I think you said a lot of farce. Yeah.
John and Martin. Scotty
keep talking, and then they're going to want to listen to the rest of it. And then it'll wind them up. Okay, what did you shut them off for?
Why didn't he? Okay, so I'm after my shows, and we're hanging out over here with Howard Hamburg. Martin Cox, you finish your show. You got.
I'm finished.
You're done for the night?
Yeah, I'm done.
Okay. Okay. Explain what you're doing, Howard.
It's estimation.
Okay.
Cards are shuffle, right?
Cards are shuffled
off again.
And then you cut.
He's good though.
Complete the cut.
Brilliant.
And then I don't do anything. I riffle the cards. It'd be nice enough to say stop.
Stop.
Got it?
Yes.
What is it?
Jack of Hearts.
Pick up the card. Spell the face up.
T-H-E.
It's red. Spell red.
R-E-D.
Is it Jack? Spell Jack.
J-A-C-K.
And it's a heart, you said?
Yes.
Go ahead. H?
H-E-A-R-T.
S?
S.
Perfect.
That's a Jack of Hearts right there. That's good.
But I'm glad you took advantage of that little thing with the seven of diamonds. That plays well, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and in fact, let me show you something that's kind of cool on top of that as well.
What the hell is this? You get a vasectomy using this thing?
No. Here's my business card.
That's how you're up.
Look at this. That's my card. Yeah?
Yes.
Okay.
If you hold it up to the light and close one eye.
Just hold it down. Watch this.
You need to explain what you're doing.
Oh, I'm sorry. I've got my business card, and I'm putting my business card down, and there was a eight of diamonds that had been selected.
Oh, that's
and so now my phone shows an eight of diamonds that my business card had turned into.
Wow. Oh, that's cool.
Which happens to be the very same one over there.
That's very, very interesting. That's interesting.
Can you change that?
I cannot.
Obviously, there's going to be a force involved here.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I ran across an interesting... I ran across a very, very, very interesting force. You know, when you do a classic... When you do a classic force, you're holding the brake above the car, and they take it, right? This one doesn't work that way. Do me a favor. Just... let's see how I do this. Just touch a card. Just touch one. And leave it right there. I got it. And just remember it?
Yep.
Ah, that's different.
Yes.
So, what you do is, I'm going to force the eight of diamonds. I hold a break below it.
Okay.
Now, they touch a card. I try to get it around the same area. And I'm holding this big break. I keep this finger here.
Okay.
And as I come up, it's in the middle of the packet.
But your finger is touching that as if that was the same card.
Right.
Gotcha. Yeah.
So it's not mine, but it's all work that I do on it.
Yeah.
But it's sort of cool. It's sort of cool.
You say it's your work, but whose original?
I don't know whose it is. It wasn't mine, but I did a little thing with the finger, which I think is a nice. What's the word I'm looking for? It just feels that. It's like that. You know, it's right in the middle of the packet.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
So where's Newell Unfried? I feel like
you
should
something?
Be.
Something? Newell, I don't know. He's sort of dropped off for a while. I hope he's okay.
Yeah, I haven't talked to him in a while.
I call, leave messages, you know, and I just hope.
Tell him I'm here. I want to talk to him.
I will. I'm gonna write to him tonight.
I want him to give me some more good restaurant places to go.
For what kind?
Restaurants, places to go eat.
What do you like to eat?
Well, he always tells me. I mean, I was telling Martin this afternoon about going. What was that? Tommy's? We went to Tommy's.
Oh, the hamburger joint.
Yeah,
that's an institution.
See there, I told you we had to go to Tommy's. We went to Pink's for lunch today.
Yeah. Did you go to the one on Beverly and
the original
Tommy's?
On
Beverly and Third.
Beverly and Third. That's the original Tommy's.
No.
It's a type of place.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's yes.
It's a type of place when you eat a couple of them. About 2 hours later, you are ready to restripe a parking lot.
So what'd you think of Armando's set?
Oh, I liked it very much.
I liked it a lot. It made me wonder, what am I doing
accident.
Here? This guy's
there
great.
There was an accident. Just before he came out, the cards fell out of the card box on the floor. And I got Bob's attention, and I jumped up, and I went down, and I moved the chair back, and I picked up. First of all, I went in the back, and I knocked on the door frantically, and he came to the door. I said, "Your car just fell on the floor." He said, "What am I going to do?" I says, "I'll pick them up and bring them back to you through here." So he was able. I told Bob to, you know, just maybe slow it down for the introduction, and he got everything ready, and he did it. You know, but evidently, you know, it was just sitting there, and maybe just. For some reason, it was on an angle, and some cards fell out of the floor.
It fell on the floor?
Yeah.
Huh. Interesting.
fell on the floor, yeah.
Martin, how are your show this evening?
The first one I really enjoyed, and the second one was, yeah, it was okay, but there was someone in the front row who didn't stop talking to her at all. And I sort of made a bit of a thing about it, which I don't think they liked. So.
I heard one of the greatest lines I've ever heard. You know, we understand that once you respond to a heckler, they win.
They win.
They win.
Yeah.
That's what they want you to do.
Exactly.
But even in that case, you can use this line. I give you permission. Even if they're talking or they're heckling, you stop for a moment. And now, if you have glasses, you just go like so. But if you don't, you just stop. Now the audience is quiet. And you look at them and say, all I want to do is finish. it's a great line. None of this, when I go into the Greyhound bus station at night and you're cleaning the urinals, I don't interrupt
you. I wasn't vicious. I just made attention that she was, and then she'd done it again, and I just said, what, again?
Well, you've worked at some of those clubs.
But the thing is, I've got lines going in my head, which I would use, but I don't think I could use it.
You know what Gazzo did here in one time? Gazzo had two people on the steps, and they were talking. And he said, excuse me, but I'm doing a show. I would appreciate if maybe you talk after the show. Now he proceeded, and they started talking again. He got up off the chair, walked out this door, got a host. I was in the room. Got a host, came back, and said, I will not continue unless those two people are out. And he just sat there. The host took
just
him
wait
out.
Until they move him.
They moved him out. They took him out. Yeah. Here, this is something that I came up with. Here, go ahead and select one. There's no, may the force be with you. No, there's no force. I'll take the card back. And do me a favor, please don't forget the card. Your mistake is my misfortune. I'm going to ask you a question, but I need an honest answer to this. Yes or no, of course you saw it too, but yes or no, was the card a red card?
Yes.
It was. The card's a cut. The ace of diamonds by any chance? No?
No.
So now you're cutting to all four aces. One, two.
Oh.
And there's a card spread that appears
so something
between
that
two
I
aces.
Don't even talk through the whole thing.
Yeah.
And that's in that.
And then upside down is your eight of diamonds. Love it.
No,
is that yours? You're teaching your lecture?
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I need to book you.
Yeah, I do. I do that in my lecture. Charlie Miller did a marvelous thing. Now, Charlie was a very serious-minded individual, as you know, but I found a little levity that I did with him. You know, he was a ballroom dancer.
Charlie Miller was
excellent, an excellent one, I may say, on the cruise ships with the tuxedo, and also a tumbler.
Did not know that.
Charlie Miller. And did you know that about 50% of expert card technique is Charlie Miller's?
No.
Browie asked Charlie to contribute, and then Charlie gave Browie a couple of Vernon's things and told him it was Vernon's. And what happened was Browie just credited Charlie, and Charlie said, that's it. But 50% of expert card technique is by Charlie Miller, yeah. Mm-hmm. But this is what Charlie would do. This is absolutely phenomenal. He'd be in there and he'd say to Ray Grismer and myself, if you guys ever laugh, I'll never do it again. But I'm just doing it for you two. And every time he did it, I would actually draw blood, and Ray was going like this. We didn't want to laugh. Person selects a card, it goes back in the deck. This is Charlie. At this point, many magicians take the cards under the table. I don't do that. And he just did the pass. So he tells you what most magicians do that he doesn't do, but he did.
Was that like, was it Mulholland, who had said, "I don't use this broken ring," and he throws away, and then does the linking ring, with the, the key ring. Yeah,
that's funny. That's funny. Yeah, Charlie. You know, I'll show you something. He said it wasn't his, but I'll do it, and then I'll teach it to you.
Okay, I think it's here's where we're going to break for right now, because this is something that's very visual. You're not going to be able to see nor explain.
But
so,
I'm going to explain it to you guys. Charlie says you got to try this. It's strong. I'll show you how strong this thing is. So I don't use picture cards. I use spot cards.
Just picks, okay.
Yeah, I just use spot cards. And it's 17. So that you'll have to remember. So I believe I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 17 cards. And the order that I put them in is a black on top, and then two reds, two blacks. You could start with a red and two blacks, but this is the way that I do it. So I come out, and everything is so, everything that you say is true that you show. See, this is a very, very special pack of cards. Each pair is a red and black card. I only take two cards. Remember the setup, black, okay.
Right.
And I do it in the middle position, I'll show you why. Red and black, they could go black and red, which I know they do, or red and black, it doesn't matter. Each pair is a red and black card.
Okay.
Now I'm getting down to the last
time in a middle. Yeah.
I'm down here to the last three. As I show this, I come over here with this, and now I'm taking it in the same method that I took the rest of them.
But the last two are actually a double.
It's a three. Three of them.
Three of them, yeah, but you're showing this too.
Right. So I say, look, red's here. Now you gotta make a kill because this is what you have. And black's here. Since they alternate red and black, which one do you think is red? Well, I'm going to give you the first one free.
Okay.
See, if they point to this one, you say, well, if you did this one, I would have given you the first. But I usually put it out like that, so they usually touch this one. I'm going to give you the first one free. And you place the red and
top the red
and put this underneath.
Okay.
Which one do you think is black, top or bottom?
Bottom. They're both black.
Wait to see this. Which one do you think is red? This is wonderful.
Oh, I see, because now you're...
Then I'm going like this.
Did you show this to Mark Shortland?
No. I say, which one is black?
Did Mark Shortland do this, something kind of like this?
Yeah, I think so. I didn't see him do it. I saw the end.
Here, right?
Yep.
And
it's almost like an oil and water.
And I do it for four. Okay. No, it's better than that. It's actually the best out of this world I've ever seen.
Yeah, no,
so the card they choose, the other one goes underneath, and this is the whole trick.
Huh.
And now you see, how did you
do? Those are all black and those are all red.
But everything makes sense on the first red and black card. And you know, everything makes sense, and then this ends up like this because they were alternating.
Are those on your lecture notes or DVD or what do you got?
No, I wouldn't put anything in my lecture notes. It's not mine.
That's not yours.
No, Charlie.
That's Charlie's. Gotcha.
The best 21 card trick I ever saw Charlie Miller showed me. The best. Now, I can watch the 21 card trick for 8 minutes. Okay. Great. Oh, wonderful. So I have them shuffle the cards and deal 10 cards. Then I have them shuffle again and add 10. Then I say, for good luck, take one from the middle, without saying 21.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Then they shuffle them, and they cut. I take them back, I gotta know the bottom two cards. So I say, you shuffle and you cut. It's Ace of Hearts and Queen of Clubs. I see it right.
You know, the bottom two, yeah.
Yeah, so you cut, right? Ace of Hearts, Queen of Clubs. I gotta get one at the 11th position. Now I could run and cull it to the 11th, or I do it this way. I take two and I call it two as I shuffle.
You milk it.
2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. I have one at the 11th and one at the bottom.
Okay.
Ace of hearts, queen of clubs. I tell them, cut off a small packet, 5, 6, 7 cards, and shuffle them. Shuffle them in your hand. And remember the top card. Now, turn it face up so I can show you what's going on here. Now, take half of these cards and drop them on top, and the other just go on top of that. Now, as I run through the procedure of the 10 of the three columns, I say 10 in my mind. I start with number 10. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 3. I got my first key card at 3. That's the end of my memorization.
So you're dealing us out like a 21 card trick.
10, 9, 8, yeah. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3. This could appear anywhere. Depends on how many cards they cut.
Sure, of course.
Now I wait till I get to the queen of clubs. And count three past it. 1, 2, 3. Jesus, this is incredible. So, as you know, they say, oh, which column is it? I don't need to do that. This is really phenomenal. So, the best 21 card trick I've ever seen. You're not doing anything. It's an automatic. I try to say to myself, it's not the effect. It's the person's brain that came up with stuff like this, you know?
John Rockenbauer's got some good work on a 21 card trick as well, that I think is pretty phenomenal. Well, anyhow, I'm going to cut us off over here because you get the general idea of sitting over here with Howard Hamburg. A lot of really good stuff. Thank you, Howard.
Can I do one more thing for you?
Okay. Okay.
Watch this. Ready? Do me a favor.
Okay.
Give me a number between 1 and 10.
8.
8. If I ask you for a number between 1 and 10, what number would you give me, sir?
6.
2. Everyone has a different number. Your number was what?
8.
8? I'm going to show you the first 7 cards face up, okay, to show you they're mixed. You'll remove the 8th card yourself. All I'm right, not sir. Touching it, but I don't want to see it, Scott.
Okay. So you got a spread of cards, okay?
So here's card 1, card 2, card 3. Card 3, the 10 of hearts, is a great card, but you didn't pick 3.
That wasn't my card.
Here's 4, here's 5, here's 6, here's 7. I
eighth
like
card.
The 7 of this card, but you didn't take 7. 8th
nope.
card, don't let me see it. Here's 9, 10, they're all different. Show the fellas your card. Show it to them or whatever. Put it down. And I'll ask you, young man, about where in the deck am I placing his card? About where?
Just under half. Just over half.
Just over half.
Just over half.
That's excellent perception on your part, but only perception. Give the cards a shuffle. And a cut. And now I have to ask a question. Did you see the card he selected? Did you show it to...
I showed them, yes, I did.
Was the card a club? Was it a heart?
No.
Wait, would you cut the cards, please? Complete the cut? Would you cut them?
Yes.
And Scott, will you do it too? Oh, here's the box. A moment ago, you gave me a number. You removed the card at that number yourself. I didn't hand it to you. Went back in the deck, shuffled, cut.
Yep.
And I believe your number was 5. What was your number?
8.
Oh, wait. Do you remember what the 8th card was?
I do.
What was it, please?
The ace of clubs.
So the that's interesting. The 8th card was the 8 of clubs?
Ace.
Oh, there's so much noise. Not the 8, the ace. Yeah?
Yes.
Well, the 8th card, the ace of clubs...
I don't
see
it.
The only card that's completely missing
from
this
deck. It's no longer in the deck of cards.
It's gone. My friend has your card.
Which friend is that?
Him.
Oh, yeah, Vernon's got it right there.
If I don't have it, somebody...
Yeah, that Vernon's holding the ace of clubs over there, that picture. It's the... He got me.
You said eight. You said eight. Free will.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I only do this for people that pick eight.
I love it. There we go. Okay, that's it. So... The Magic Word Podcast from the Magic Castle. On day one, this is Scotty out. All right, it's about to wrap it up, but, you know, here I am with Diamond Jim. I mean, we came all the way from Texas just to see Diamond
Jim. Just to see you.
That's right. Hey, Diamond Jim, how you doing?
So I'm great, thanks.
You're here, why again?
Power 106 FM flew me out to entertain DJ Khaled. Apparently he's a big deal.
Okay, and because you're a DJ, he's a DJ. Diamond Jim, Diamond.
No, he's a famous rapper now, and he works
well,
with
all the
Well,
you're a famous magician.
I am, okay.
You know, I mean, you're all over the world. You're all over the place.
And so, no, yeah. So
you're doing what? You're entertaining him?
Yeah, in Burbank tomorrow at the radio station. And then they're supposed to video it, and hopefully something will go viral.
On YouTube
we'll see.
Or something.
Yeah, we'll see.
Oh, that's pretty wild. And then, now, how do they find out about you?
My buddy Mitch, who helps run the radio station,
yeah,
had me do the same thing for Jason Derulo like a year ago.
Jason Derulo.
It went over. He's another big.
Okay. I'm out of it.
So
you know who they are I'm talking about.
All the kids know who Jason is.
All the kids do.
I know him.
Yeah. And so anyway.
Now, aren't you working here at the castle next week?
In a couple weeks. Yeah, July 3rd through the 9th.
You going to be in the close-up or parlor?
I'm doing the close-up again. Yeah, I asked for the close-up. Yeah. So yeah.
Early or late?
Doing the late. So I get to deal with all the drunk people. So yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I like to work early so that way I can be one of the drunk people later.
Perfect. Smart. You're smart.
Introduce me again so that way the people here hear what...
Yeah, this is Amra.
Hi. Amra. I'm Amra.
And,
I'm a person here.
Yes.
I'm glad you're here. Thank you very much. Well, anyhow, no, it's always good to see you. And so
thank
you for a couple days and heading back home.
Yep. And back home and then pack and come back here. Yeah. So.
That's amazing. So. Okay. Well, good.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. And so from the Magic Castle, that was DJ and Amra. Diamond Jim and Amra. Okay, Scotty out.